The message for today was written by Helen B. Golfan, Director of Women's Ministries Department of the Southern Asia Pacific Division for Women's Ministry, Emphasis D, 2012. It is entitled, Our Testimonies, God's Delight. The scripture reading is taken from Luke 8, verse 47. Let us find it and read together. Luke 8, verse 47. If you found it, say amen. Okay. Let us read together. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Thanks be to God. Our confession of faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. But that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for giving us your word by which we can learn of you. Help us, dear Lord, to trust in your power to heal, to save, to deliver. Be with me this morning, dear Lord, and take away from me everything that is unlike thee. Send thy Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide, to bless, and direct. And Lord, speak through me that as the message go forth, lives will be transformed, and we will testify of your goodness, Lord, all the days of our lives, so that we can win others for you, Lord, and they too can have a place in your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A friend of the writer, was considering buying a good camera. Knowing her plans, her two sons were discussing the pros and cons of the various brands. She heard one say, a good one is one on which mom could change the lens from time to time to get good and candid shots. The other one said, but that would be a hassle and additional weight when mom travels. The writer is of the view that they were right, and that their comments made her think that today, even with the hassle and additional weight, she would still encourage each of us to change the lens of our eyes of faith as we focus on the experience of one poor, sick, exhausted woman. Her name is not given in the Bible, but her story is recorded in three of the four Gospels. In Matthew 9, verses 20 to 22. In Mark 5, verses 25 to 34. And in Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. And an entire chapter in the Desire of Ages. The touch of faith is dedicated to her story. The writer believed with all her heart that this account was chosen by God to speak to us. For he has a special message for us this morning. Why did Jesus ask, "Who touched me?" Didn't he know? Wasn't the crowd pressing him upon all sides? Why did he pursue his inquiry? To answer these questions, 4 D's will be our focal points for consideration. The woman's desperation, her determination, her deliverance, and her declaration, and God's response. We begin with the first D, desperation. Jesus, the traveling teacher, was in a hurry. He had just consented to the emergency request of a very respected and important man whose daughter was dying. The frantic, anxious, loving father was in a great haste. He wanted Jesus to just touch his daughter, and he knew she would be healed. I can identify with this man. I thought of myself a lot of times when I was going through this. Oh, if there had only been an ambulance, he would have commanded the driver to drive fast with sirens blaring and light flashing. Then everybody would have given way and moved to the sides of the road. But in this case, Jesus could hardly move because of the vast crowd pressing him on all sides. It was not unusual for him to be pressed by a throng of well-wishers, the curious and the needy. The woman in our story also had a desperate need. When she heard about this man, Jesus, who accepts people regardless of who they are, she decided that she wanted to see him. Why? She desired to be healed. And who would not? A father was in distress and a woman in desperation. Both the ruler and the sick woman, representing two classes of people, needed Jesus. The ruler was rich and well off, but he was desperate. The woman with the issue of blood was sick and needy, and she was desperate. She heard about Jesus and went in search of him. Brothers and sisters, there are some situations that only God can change. This heart-wrenching account of a woman who had spent all her means trying to get better is a story of terrible desperation and affliction. She had suffered with this condition for 12 long years, and having spent all her money on physicians, had gotten no relief. She suffered physically from the constant blood loss. She was pale, weak, and exhausted. What made it worse was that she also suffered religiously. Under the law in Leviticus 15, verse 9 and 25 to 27, this woman was to be considered unclean. She could not touch anything or anyone, and no one could touch her, or they would be defiled. She could not participate in temple worship for 12 long years. She also suffered financially because she had spent all she had with the hope of getting a cure, but nothing worked. She was left penniless and destitute. She suffered socially. She could not mingle with people. She was a terribly lonely and desperate woman. Her condition rendered her an outcast. Her situation was even more pronounced and demeaning than that which was described for people with leprosy. At least they lived in communes and had contact with others like themselves. But this woman, she had no one. She was alone and forsaken, left on the fringes of society. She had been so stigmatized that no one bothered to even find out her name, nor what she preferred to be called. Everyone identified her according to her illness and not according to her contribution nor her self-worth. She was neither invited, welcomed, nor included. She needed someone. Someone who would understand how she was feeling. One day, she heard about Jesus and what he was doing, especially for the sick. Someone must have shared the good news with her. How wonderful to share the good news of salvation with others. Amen. Her hope revived. She felt assured that if she could only go to him, she would be healed. She realized that he was her only hope. Have we reached that place in our lives yet? Have we come to understand that Jesus is the only hope that we have? The next D we will look at is determination. In her desperation, which was coupled with her hope, she perceived that if she could only get close enough to where Jesus was, then maybe she stood a chance for the first time of being helped. She made her way to the place where she heard Jesus would be. With a strong conviction of Jesus' power to heal, she threw off all restraint. Faith was growing stronger and stronger in her heart. Her faith was developed from within, as evidenced by what she thought to herself. We call this positive self-talk. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28, we read where she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." What great faith in Jesus! As Jesus approached, a very large crowd, perhaps in the thousands, gathered. She had to be determined because she demonstrated great courage. By approaching Jesus in that crowd, as she made her way through the crowd, she was causing defilement. For everyone she touched, she was taking a great risk. For if she was recognized, she would have been subjected to public humiliation and ridicule. A crowd like that might have gotten worked up and even stoned her to death. But for her, it was a risk worth taking just to get close enough to Jesus so that she could touch the hem of his garment. The crowd, no doubt, included some of the same people who had previously rejected her. Persons who may have said some unkind words. Persons who may have refused to sit where she sat. Neighbors who made it clear by their body language that they would not interact with her. Persons who were not even mindful that Jesus' death had put an end to those laws, but instead used them to ostracize her. They may have even, at this moment, with Jesus so close by, still block her from being healed and from receiving a blessing. Yet she persevered. And pushing through the crowd, she found a place to stand, hoping that Jesus would pass by. But just as this woman found a place to stand, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house to heal his daughter who lay dying. What do you suppose was going through this woman's head, hearing that perhaps Jesus would have to make a choice about which way to go? Maybe he would change his direction or delay his interaction with this crowd. And maybe she would not be able to get near him. Let us look at the third T, her deliverance. Brethren, God is a God of life for all. Those who lay dying and those who have been living with imposed debt. Those who are helpless and suffering. Jesus demonstrated that both situations could be dealt with. On the way to Jairus' house, Jesus came to where the need was. The golden opportunity had come, and she was in the presence of the great physician. But amid the confusion, she could not speak to him, nor catch more than a passing glimpse of his figure. Fearful of losing her one chance of relief, she pressed forward. She did not concern herself with the crowd. She focused on the target of healing, Jesus. As he was passing by, she reached out and she managed to touch the hem of his garment. And in doing so, she was instantly healed. Praise God. Because she was able to connect with Jesus' power, and for the first time in 12 years, her identity and bleeding crisis were over. Yes, victory had come, and she was able to be made whole. But it is important for us to note that this woman did not come boldly like Jairus. You see, she came from behind because she didn't want to be seen. She was afraid, and she thought that she was hidden, and no one would see her. But her heart began to pound when Jesus suddenly stopped. Remember, there was an emergency request from Jairus when Jesus passed the crowd, stopped with him. The healed woman wondered, did he know? Could he possibly distinguish her touch of his robe in such a crowd? But instantly, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" The people answered this query with a look of amazement, jostled on all sides, and pressed hither and thither as he was. It seemed a strange inquiry. Peter, ever ready to speak, said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus answered, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Jesus could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless crowd. The truly amazing part of the story is Jesus' awareness that healing power had flowed out of him at the woman's touch. That even with the impatient pushing and the pressing of the mob, he still maintained a sense of individualized attention. But her touch was different. it was a touch accompanied by faith. Many touched him in that crowd that day, but only one touched him with the fingers of faith. When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" does this mean also that he's asking, "What really touches me?" From this story, we can be assured that Jesus cares for us. He is touched by our infirmities. Are you burdened with sickness today? Let Jesus touch you. He loves and cares for you. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, we find that with his stripes we are healed. Give him praise in the house today. Are you suffering from sadness? A comforting song says, "Never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I am under his care." Our loving Jesus is touched when someone passes away. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. But God has promised. Yes, he has promised that those who die in Christ, those who trust in him, he will raise up. Blessed assurance. He comforts those who mourn. As children of God, let us find peace in that hope. Are you struggling because of sins? God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son to redeem us from sin. He left the splendors of heaven because of his great love and faithfulness to us. 1 John 1 verse 9 assures us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you struggling because of poverty? Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She had spent all she had, but she got everything that she needed. Hallelujah. Have you lost all that you had and can't pay the bills? Are you unemployed? Trust God today. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is it a relationship problem? Have you been abandoned by your friends? He has said in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God is in the business of restoration. What has the devil stolen from you? Has your children become rebellious? God's promises are sure. He can restore our children to what he would have them be. Psalms 127 verse 4 says, "They shall be as arrows in our quiver." So continue. Let us continue to pray that they will be reconciled to God and become as mighty arrows aimed at Satan. Now we get to the final D, which is declaration, which relates the woman's testimony and God's response. Let us think of the countless nights that the woman had probably cried herself to sleep or looked upon herself with self-hatred or self-pity. Now she had been made whole. But wholeness comes with knowing who the healer is. She had to acknowledge Jesus as the one who had been responsible for her wholeness. Blessed by the touch of Jesus' garment, she spoke her testimony before many witnesses and gave God the glory. She testified that she had heard about Jesus and she believed. She spoke words of faith as recorded in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Then she took the step of faith. She left her home in spite of the fact that it was against Jewish law to be in the public in her condition. She came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. She thought that she was hidden, but when Jesus asked who touched her, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling in fear, and she threw herself at Jesus' feet. She stammered out how she desperately wanted to be well, and how she knew that just touching his garment would heal her, and that it did, and she was finally healed. She apologized over and over again for her brazen action, hoping that he would understand just a little why she dared to make him unclean. But he did not walk away in disgust. Instead, he made her feel loved and accepted. That touch healed her, and for the first time in years, she was whole again. He gave her a new life, and she could finally go in peace. That woman gave a testimony of a healed life, a testimony of one who can stop a burdensome situation and replace it with a testimony of good news. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus was delighted to hear her give a testimony of what he had done for her. Jesus knew the benefit she would receive if she acknowledged his goodness and grace. Let us do likewise and testify of the goodness of God. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, we find that we can overcome him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The crowd who listened to her testimony also heard the Savior's response. He put gladness into her. Daughter. What a loving term to use. One that signifies that through her faith, she became a part of his family, as do all believers. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. She was honored by Jesus when he said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." That cure was the fruit of faith, the pardon of sin, and the work of grace. You see, she got more than just physical healing that day. All her adult life, she was an outcast, dwelling in isolation and loneliness. But then she heard that she had been adopted by God. Hallelujah. Her faith brought her into a soul-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. From a woman who was identified only by her illness, she became a whole new creature, named and identified with Jesus. From desperate to delivered, Jesus looked past the names and labels that her culture had imposed upon her and healed her wounds. She could have easily slipped back into the crowd. Why did he seek her out? Why did he ask, "Who touched me?" But because healing is not just physical, it is spiritual and relational. It represents wholeness. By speaking to her in that crowd, her status was elevated to public honor and respect. She wanted a cure, but Jesus wanted a face-to-face encounter with her. You see, discipleship is not simply getting our needs met. It is about being in the presence of God, following him, and having a personal relationship with him. The gospel writers included her story in the Bible because the truth was discovered that Jesus was not rendered unclean by her touch, but rather he cleansed her. And the deeper truth was that Jesus was not defiled by the world, but rather he brought transformation to the world. This woman thought she was unclean, hidden, lonely, and unworthy. But suffering was not hidden from God. Even in that huge crowd, she was known and singled out. Remember, she was not allowed to go into the temple, but the Lord of the temple came to where she was, where he could have a personal encounter with her. What a wonderful change in her life had been wrought. Yes, she got more than what she bargained for that day. After this brief incident, Jesus started to move on again, but the woman remained on her knees, wrapped in God's presence, weeping with joy, relief, and gratitude. Imagine, Jesus had not passed her by. Her suffering was over. She was whole. What a Savior. What a Savior is ours to praise and to thank for all of his countless gifts to us. Ellen White reminds us that through our expressions of gratitude to God, we bring benefits to ourselves. It is for our benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus, faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. His health shall spring forth speedily. His light shall rise in obscurity, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon him. Let us remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. And this is taken from The Desire of Ages, page 348. We too can have that experience. We too can discover that we are now children of God, that we can have a home in heaven, that we are joint heirs with Jesus, that we are free from the power of sin to control and dominate us, that we are no longer God's enemies, but that we have been reconciled to him, that all of this can take place by grace through faith. We can discover that we have been fully forgiven of every sin and transgression, and God has said that he will remember them no more. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, and we should no longer indulge in sin. But if we do, we have an advocate, which is the Father, who intercedes on our behalf. So then, we only have to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe your life is anything but whole today. Why don't you come to Jesus and get the help that you need? If you will come to him by faith, he will help you with the trials that you are facing today. Give God praise, for he is an awesome God. Amen. Declare the glory of God. Testify of his goodness and faithfulness. Tell others what he has done in your life. Return to him in gratitude, like the only one of the 10 lepers who returned and told him thanks. Hallelujah. It is not because of anything good that we have done, but because God is faithful. He heals. He delivers. He protects. He sustains. He restores. He saves. Give him praise in the house today. Praise him. Praise him. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for reminding us that you delight to hear our story, the story of your great love and what you have done in our lives every moment of the day. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to express our testimonies. We know that this is pleasing to you when it comes from the heart of faith. Our worship, our response to your kindness and love, Lord, cause us to be courageous, to come back to you and to say thank you for every blessing, great and small. In the past, we have been careless. Oh Lord, please forgive our ungratefulness from this time on. Help us to constantly respond to your grace. In the mighty yet loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.